This is my Bible. I am what it says I am. I can do what it says I can do. I can have what it says I can have. Today, I will be taught the word of faith. I boldly confess that my mind is alert, my heart is receptive, and I will never be the same. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, we are in a series, brand new, entitled Open Handed. Somebody say open handed. Open-handed. Years ago, my wife and I have been friends with Elder Mother C for years, years even before we started the ministry. And so one thing I remember Elder C saying years ago that, you know, if you close your hands, you got it. You don't give anything, but you don't receive anything. But if you have your hands open, you got it, you're able to give, but you're also able to receive. And how many know you can never be God-giving no matter how hard you try? When it comes to giving, that is something that I never shy away from. I'm not scared to teach it because it is a conviction that I live by because I've seen the word work in my wife and my life. We are where we are today, I believe, for two main reasons, because we live right and because we give right. I believe that with all of my heart. Yes, there's little other small things that go around with that. You know, because I don't believe that there's just one calculation, but I do believe that because we live right and because we give right, we see God do amazing things in our lives. And so, really, when it comes to giving, you have to understand that it's all about the heart. Somebody say it's all about the heart. Luke, the sixth chapter, I'm going to actually go there in the back. Luke, the sixth chapter, verses 37 and 38, it says, judge not, and what's going to happen, class? You shall not be judged. So how many know it's probably a bad idea to go around judging everybody? Isn't that right? Yeah. If it's not my business, I just don't worry about it. Isn't that right? He says, judge not, you shall not be judged. Condemn not, and you shall not be condemned. All right? And then he says, forgive, and watch this, you will be forgiven. So there's kind of like this line that we kind of see. If you do this, this is going to happen. Verse 38 says, give, and it will be given unto you. How? Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over will, watch this, will running over will be put into your bosom. For with the same measure that you use, it will be measured back to you. All right? So the Bible is really teaching us. And so a lot of times, I don't think people totally understand this scripture because, say, this scripture is teaching about giving, and it is teaching about giving. And if you're not careful, you think it's just teaching about giving money. Although money is part of it, this is really a scripture that teaches us about attitudes of the heart. You got it? And so, if someone was to ask me, one of my pastor friends, well, how often do you teach on giving? I tell them, well, every week. They're like, man, my church couldn't handle me teaching on giving every week. No, you asked the wrong question. You said, how much do I teach on giving? You should have asked, how much do I teach on giving money, which is actually once or twice a year we do a series. But I teach on giving all the time because I cannot teach grace without talking about how God so loved the world that he gave. I cannot teach on marriage without teaching on giving because it's going to take both parties, the husband and the wife, to give at 100% even in tough times if the marriage is really going to work. Does that make sense? Yeah. So giving applies to every area of our lives. So giving is about the heart, but yes, money is included. Jesus said it himself that where your treasure is, there is your heart also. You got it. Where your treasure is, there is your heart also. If God can get to your bank account, he can get to your heart. You notice the Bible didn't say, and this is not a play on words, the Bible didn't say where your heart is, there is where your treasure is. He says, no, where your treasure is, that is where your heart is going to be. And so this passage is really about attitudes of the heart and not just giving money, although that's included right smack dab in the middle of this lesson or this passage on attitudes of the heart. And so it teaches us about judgment. It teaches about condemnation. It teaches us about forgiveness. You got it? Attitudes of the heart. It teaches us also about giving money, and it teaches us whatever we give more of, that is what's going to be given back to us, whether it be good or whether it be bad. Does that make sense? All right. So I want to show you a scripture in Deuteronomy, the 15th chapter and the 7th verse, and I want to show you how to develop a heart of generosity, how to develop a heart of generosity. And I think that that is the key. You listen, y'all, I love to give. Like, I absolutely absolutely, positively love to give. I want to live my life in a way where I have something called margin. Do you know what margin is? You got it. Margin is the difference between your load and your limit. Margin is what you have left after you have paid all of your bills. And I think it is the will of God for every person in this room to have plenty of margin. Even if you have to get rid of some stuff. Hello, somebody. You got it. Or make some moves. You got it. Or change some things around. It is the will of God for you to have margin in your life. All right? Deuteronomy 15 and 7 says, if there's among you a poor man of your brethren within any of the gates of your land, which the Lord, watch this, your God is giving you. So God gave it to you. You shall not harden your heart, nor shut your hand from your poor brother. Verse 8 says, but you shall open your hand and open it wide to him and willingly lend him sufficient for his need, whatever he needs. Do you see how clear the scripture is how we should take care of our brothers and sisters? You got it. And I don't want to get too far into it, but that doesn't mean that I have to just give all what I got to anybody and people I don't know. He talks about your brethren. He talks about people who are within your gates. And I could really break that down, but that has a lot to do with people that are in my world, in my family, and my brothers and sisters in Christ, and people I'm close to. You got it? Who's the richest man right now? Bill Gates? You got it. I don't know. It's a couple of, what's the other guy? Who? Peso? I don't know who y'all talking about. Warren Buffett. He got some money, don't he? He ain't rich? What? Oh, the Amazon guy. Jeff. Spell it. B-E-Z-O-S. Sound rich. All right. Well, I don't have Jeff Bezos money. So I don't think God expects me just to give, on vacation in California, give everything to them. I don't think that's what God's talking about. But I think God is talking about as it relates to the people that are in my world, as it relates to my brothers and sisters. Hello, somebody. Now, yes, there's times when we go off and we're on vacation or whatever. We pay for the person next to us. We don't even want them to know. So we are a blessing. But I think you really need to understand the context of this lesson. I want to give you four things that we need to do, not just you, but me. So we need to do in order to become generous givers, to become generous givers. And these sound a little tough, my points, but so even when you hear it, don't let it hit you too hard. Just let me teach through it, and I think you'll understand it, all right? So point number one, everybody say number one. Deal with a selfish heart. Deal with a selfish heart. And I think that is something that all of us have dealt with at some point in our lives. So a lot of us have worked out of that. Some of us are working out of that. And some of us need to work out of that. Praise the Lord. And so deal with the selfish heart. Watch what he says in Deuteronomy. So I'm going to keep reading in Deuteronomy. So now let's go drop down to verse 9 in chapter 15. He says, beware lest there be, watch this, a wicked thought. What kind of thought? He says, a wicked thought in your heart, saying the seventh year, watch this, the year of release, we call it Jubilee, is at hand, and watch this, your eye be evil against your poor brother, and you give him nothing, and he cry out to the Lord against you, and it becomes what? A sin among you. Do you know that the Bible says that God calls selfish thoughts wicked thoughts? Right? So in other words, you know, you're doing well and your brother is, the Bible says poor, you got it? And so, see, poor is not you make good money, you got a nice house and car, you waste all your money, now you want me to come pay your bills. That's not poor. I don't hear nobody saying nothing. Praise the Lord. So, but you have a brother that really doesn't have, and you're like, next year is the year of Jubilee. Let me help you out with that. God had developed this economic system that every 7 years, you know, all your debts would be wiped away. How many think that we should still be operating in that economic system? I know I do, right? Right? And so what happens is, he says, if you know your brother who is really poor owes you something, and you're like, and he's like, hey, can I borrow, $7,000, and you would normally loan it to him, but you know next year is the year of Jubilee. If this joker don't pay me back by next year, then I'm going to have to wipe his debt away. And the Bible calls that selfish, but the Bible also calls that wicked. You got it? And so greed and selfishness are not proper motives for giving. So God really wants to change us all from greedy, selfish takers into grateful, generous givers. All right? Generous people are happy people. I'm telling you, man, generous people are happy people. Generous people, they're just joyful. They like to see other people happy. They like to give. Now, they're going to give in their level and stay within their margin and those kind of things, but generous people are happy people. Don't forget that word margin. Somebody spell margin. That's right, right. And you spell Julio, H-U-L-I-O. We were at Minister Deb, Pastor Pat's house last night. Sia's heading to Navy boot camp on Monday, and she's going to do well in Jesus' name. Amen. And so we had a party for her the other night, but she wanted the family to get together to have a time to play game night. Like kind of like, it's not her last game night because she's going to be back, but you know, her last game night is being, you know, home and that kind of thing. And so we what game were we playing? We're playing Scattergories. Has anybody ever played Scattergories? And so if they roll, you know, an H, and just so you know, I didn't roll any dice. I don't believe in rolling dice. Praise the Lord. And they said, you know, if it's not two dice and it's just one, it's a die. You guys said, I don't care what you say. The Bible says I shall live and not die. So I didn't roll anything. I let them do all that, all right? Praise the Lord. And so they rolled an H, right? And so it was like names that start with H, right? And whatever lady, when we were together, we were partners, of course, and whatever she said, somebody else said. And I turned over and looked at Etsy and looked at them and said, I told her to say Julio, and I was as serious as I could be. And all of them are like, dumb, dumb. Julio don't start with an H. I said, oh, my God, I was in the moment. I was in the moment. I have the mind of Christ. Yes, I do. Question, why did God create giving? And I'm going to go ahead and answer it. God created giving not because he needs your money. You got it. God didn't create giving because the light bill in heaven is heavy. You understand what I'm saying? No. God actually created giving to work selfishness and greed out of our lives. God did not create giving for his sake, but God actually created giving for our sake, all right? And God is really not after your money, but he wants your heart. All right? So we must never have the mentality. Watch this. Now you gotta hear this and understand that I'm doctrinally sound when I say this. We must never have the mentality that we give just to get. You got it? Yes, when we give, it's going to be given back to us, but that is not the reason I give. Does that make sense? You got it. So it's not like, you know, I was a couple months ago, I was up teaching, and Joy, that's another one of our nieces. She's at UNC. She's at Chapel Hill. And the Holy Spirit has said, pay for her car. You got to, like, pay it off so that she has no debt, right? And so I was, you know, talking to, I had to have y'all talk to one another, talk to lady real quick, you know, and lady and I are having a conversation about it, right? And so, you know, we have to do this, and for number one, for agreement, and then number two, if I forget anything, you got it? And she's like, well, make sure that they know that it's our money, and we're not just taking church money and doing it. You know, we got to go through that, because y'all love us, but everybody don't. Praise the Lord, right? You know, and those things. But I didn't do that. And then the next day, I think we called and paid her loan off. But I didn't do like, okay, God, you owe me now. Like I gave Joy. No. Watch this. It's okay for me to expect the blessings of God to continue to flow in my life because I am a giver. But it is not okay for me to say, okay, well, I'm gonna give you $100. Okay, this afternoon, Lord, all right, Lord, you got to come on with it. Because if you're not careful, it's the wrong heart. Listen, let me just help you, and I'm not trying to be funny. The whole receiving part, as long as your faith is up, you don't have to worry about that part. If you do the giving part and you're in faith, God is going to make sure that you get it back. Does that make sense? All right, so you have to, yeah, you just have to make, I just need to make sure that you understand that. You know, I'm not about, you know, and the Lord said on March 6th, yeah, you know, and you know, if you just give not 1,000, but not 3,000, but 15,000, that God, I said God, you know, is going to give you a new BMW. No, because that's a game. And giving is not, it is God's plan to prosper your life. Now, if you release faith for God, maybe you want a nice car and God will give you a nice car, but it's not a game. Maybe you want a nice house, and I believe God will bless you with a nice house, and I believe that there's things that you have to do. You got it? You know, when it comes to the whole giving, there's two legs. I taught you. There's the giving part, and then there's the stewardship part, and you put those together, and you set some goals. With the help of God, you can do a whole lot of things in your life, but your heart has to be right. You got it? And so, now, I mean, ladies, I will be honest with you. Men don't like to admit it, but there is an area of selfishness in our lives that we're still trying to grow out of. And that is just like we don't like to share food. Like we don't like to share food. And women really like to share our food. You got it? And I know that my wife is not the only one. And there's a lot of ladies that they say the same thing when they go through the drive-thru. I'll just have some of yours. No, you won't. I'll buy you two meals, but the meal I got, that's for me. You got it? And just while we're at it, the fries at the bottom of the bag, they all belong to me. You got it? All the extra fries belong to me. All right. So number one, everybody say number one, is deal with the selfish heart. Here we go. Number two, deal with a grieving heart. Deal with a grieving heart. He's talking about money here. Deuteronomy 15 and 10. You shall surely give to him. He's talking about money. Watch this. And he says, and when you give to him, your heart should not be what? Oh, Lord, I should have not gave that joker that $20. Heart all in a knot over $100. He said you should not grieve when you give to him. Watch this. Because for this thing, the Lord your God not might, but will bless you in all your works and in all to which you put your hand. So you notice I just said we don't live like I'm doing this to get. No, you just listen, just let it be free flowing. Give, watch this, be spirit led in your giving. Don't let anybody try to, you know, run game with you. You heard what the pastor said, and I need my light bill. That's not what I'm talking about. You got it? If they need a light bill, oh, praise the Lord. Let me keep reading. Let me just keep reading, all right? Praise the Lord. And so we shouldn't, watch this, give and then grieve over what we could have done with the money had we not given it. Does that make sense? So selfishness attacks us before we give. Talking about deal with the selfish heart. And grief attacks us after we give, all right? And many people give because, watch this, they feel like they have to when they should want to, all right? Right? And so God wants to bless us in all that we do. I got another question for you. Is God pleased if after we give, we regret it? No. Because God, because he didn't really accomplish the work in our heart that he wanted to. He wants to, what type of giver does the Lord love? A cheerful. So when I give, I ought to feel good about my giving. You got it? So I feel good about the fact that I'm a giver, that I give my tithe, that I give my offering. I feel good about the fact that I have created margin with the help of God in my life, and I can be a blessing to others. Like I am happy about giving. This might sound crazy. I am more happy about giving than I am receiving, but because I'm such a generous giver, I'm always going to continue to receive in my life. Does that make sense? But I absolutely, positively love to give. Like, you know, I done gave, you know, $60 away, have $20. I'm not worried about that because more money's going to come. If God has to raise up somebody somewhere to use their power, their ability, and their influence to help me prosper, oh, you want to give me some money? Okay, praise the Lord. We'll give him a big hand. 20, 40, 60, 80. I can't take it. I'm gonna take it. You wanna give me some money too? Okay, all right. See, I knew that was gonna happen. Why did Ben jump up so fast to give me that money? Because before service, I gave it to him. And I told him when I called for some money, come give me some money. But I knew, I said, it's probably not going to work right because now other members are going to try to jump up and give me money. And I had to tell them no because it goes again. No. That's not what I'm trying to do. Well, I said, oh, y'all, this, because, Lord Jesus, because I was like, Lord, I don't, you know, because to me, oh, my baby, I can't take money from my baby.
Oh, it's mom's money.
It's mom's money. All right, thank you. Lord Jesus. So it's basically my money. It's basically my money.
Let me give you some of my money.
Oh, some of your money. Okay. Just in case we have any first-time friends, giving is not what? Like, this ain't no game, y'all. Like, this is, you understand what I'm saying? No, and I have to share that because the enemy would love to put that in somebody's mind. That guy up there is a player. He's just trying to get folks money. That's never me. My Cash App, watch this, goes out way more than it ever comes in. Does that make sense? What you gonna do with that money? Give 15%, because I give tithes and I always give, and then probably give it away. Whether it's giving it to my wife, or my daughter, or my son who is in the Navy who makes his own money but still gets money from dad. He said he got a whole bunch of money in the bank because he's saving his money and spending mine. All right. So let's talk about Ben. Why did he give it to me so fast? Because I gave it to him before service. So is he grieving over giving me my money? He kind of looks like he might be grieving a little bit. Watch this. Maybe we have a problem with giving because we don't understand it's not ours. Everything belongs to God. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, and they that dwell within. The silver is his. The gold is his. The cattle on 1,000 hills is his. Everything belongs to God. And watch this. If we understand that, so it's not just the tithe that belongs to God. Everything I have belongs to God. And so if he ever asks me for it, I'm gladly and freely and willingly, freely, willingly, and going to willfully, did I say that right? Yeah, freely give it back to him. Watch this, because he's the one that gave it all to me in the first place. Does that make sense? All right, now, Ben, you hold this for the next service. Don't y'all tell the people at the next service. Okay, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. All right, so let's just pray. Father, I thank you for those that gave this to me because I have a heart of integrity, and I'm never trying to get anything from anybody. So just as fast as they sowed this into my life, I thank you, Father, that with quick speed, you'll return it back 100-fold in Jesus' name. Amen. Because giving's not a game. Like, if you notice, when pastor preaches, pastor don't preach like I'm trying to get you to give me something. That'll never happen. We have something called pastor's offering. It's on secure give. It's on our envelopes. Do you ever hear me talk about it? But do you know how many members on a monthly or if not weekly consistent basis always go on? Why? Because I understand, watch this now, the principle that I am a giver. So if I'm a giver, I don't have to target you and say, well, you know, Pat, if you bless me, God will bless you back. No, I don't have to do that because I've done my part by freely giving and being generous. God will raise up people to be a blessing back to me and to be a blessing back to you. Does that make sense? All right. Oh, man, where did the time go? All right, everybody say number three. Well, actually, let's recap in the back. So let's put number one up on the screen. Number one is? All right, number two is? All right, number three, develop a generous heart. Develop a generous heart. Deuteronomy 15-14 says, you shall supply him liberally from your flock, from your threshing floor, and from your wine press, from what the Lord has blessed you with, you shall give to him. And so he says, you shall supply liberally. And so God said he wants us to not just give enough, but he wants us to be generous. All right. Luke 6:30. I mean, it really breaks it down. It says, give to everyone who asks of you, and from him who takes from your goods, don't ask him back. How many of us powerful? So, like, if you put $20 down and somebody steals your $20, he's like, just forgive them. See, some of y'all got problems right there. And just as you want men to do to you, you also do to them likewise. See, that's why he shouldn't steal from me, because I don't steal from other people. And the Bible says, 32, but if you love those who love you, what credit is that to you? For even sinners love those who love them. And if you do good to those who do good to you, what credit is that to you? For even sinners do the same. And if you lend to those whom, watch this, you hope to receive back, what credit is that for you? This is all about attitudes of the heart. For even sinners lend to sinners to receive as much back. But love, watch this, your enemies. The people who don't like you, the people who are not going to give to you, the people who are not going to loan to you, the people who are going to talk about you and run you down. He says, it doesn't matter. Love them anyway. Do good to them. He said, lend and hope nothing. They say, hey, can I get $20? You already know they're not going to give you the $20 back. So when you give it to them, just listen, just give it as a seed. Right? And your reward will be great, and you will be sons, that's not gender specific, sons and daughters, of the Most High, for he is kind to the unthankful and evil. Isn't that amazing? Therefore, be merciful just as your Father also is merciful. So God wants us to be generous as he is generous. God is the most generous person, you know, in the entire world. For God so loved the world, he did what? He gave. And so this is why we have to teach our children to share. And we need to teach them to share at a young age, right? Because they're not born sharers. They're born takers. You got it. When your child is little, you know, if you got little kids and, you know, you have a whole bunch of toys and you invite the neighbor over. And then you know, the neighbor's little kid goes up and picks a toy up. Your kid wasn't even playing with that toy. They'll put their toy down and run over and grab that toy. And they'll say one or two words. They'll either say mine or I was playing with that. And then the little neighbor boy says, okay, well, no problem. And he goes over and he picks that up. Now your baby throws that one down and runs. And so we have to teach them to share. Because we are born selfish, but we are born again generous. Does that make sense? All right, last point. Point number four, develop a grateful heart. Develop a grateful heart. All right, let's close it out. Deuteronomy 15:15 says, you shall remember that you, watch this, that you were a slave in the land of Egypt. And the Lord your God redeemed you. Therefore, I command you this thing this day. I think this is a good place to go home court. Let's read it again. You shall do what, class? Come on. You should do what?
Remember.
What should you remember? And somebody said, why would God want me to remember where I came from? Like why? Like, God, I don't want to remember that. Those are hard times. Those were crazy times. Those were tough times. Remember some just crazy times in your life. And you're like, man, I don't remember. God is good to me now. I don't remember that. He said, no, you need to remember that. And remember that the Lord redeemed you or saved you. And so I don't know about you. First, let me just ask a question as I'm closing. And I've got 50 seconds, so I'm in good time. How many in the room would just agree that, you might not be where you want to, but even where you are right now, God's been pretty good to you.
Yes.
Just about all of us in the room, right? God's been. And how many would agree that life has not always been this good? You remember some tough times back in the day, right? And so every now and then, whether it's in worship, whether I'm driving down the road, whether I'm in my quiet time, you know, sometimes God reminds me of where I came from. Reminds me of the little Fred Flintstone car that I talked to you about, and reminds me of how I had to, I needed until the 5th to pay my rent. You know, just reminds me of how tough things were. Reminds me of how after we put our money together, my wife and I paid all the bills, we'd have $79 until the next week. It's just it reminds me. And I'm reminded of my past, not for condemnation's sake, but for gratitude's sake. And so sometimes I think we have to allow God to remind us that we were quote unquote slaves. And everything that we have is by his grace. And watch this. And I believe that will help us to be grateful and to be generous. Lady and I are extremely, extremely generous. And we're always giving. We're always giving, we're always being a blessing, you know, and those kind of things. We've helped kids go to college. We pay people's house notes. We fully furnished. When I say fully furnished, I'm talking about the living room, the bedroom. We've done that a few times. We bought people cars. There's times when we've been in church services, other not this building, other buildings, and we personally, you know, from our personal account, gave a $30,000 check or a $40,000 check, and we're always giving and always giving, and you know, and sometimes, you know, not everybody, but sometimes, you know, people wonder, well, why do you do that? And the answer is clear, because we never forgot where we came from. And I think that that has to be your driving force, that you never forgot where you came from. That no matter what you're going through right now, what the situation is, what it looks like, God has been and God is good to you. And he's going to keep being good to you. And so what you have to develop is that attitude of gratitude, that thankful heart, that generous heart, and get rid of greed and get rid of selfishness and understand if I keep my hands open, yes, that means I'm going to be given out, but God's also going to be given back to me. Heads bowed, eyes are closed, believers are praying all over the building. So I want to pray for you as it relates to this lesson. And then after we pray for this lesson, if you don't know Jesus, I want to invite you to come to know Jesus. But Father, I thank you for those that are under the sound of my voice. And I pray that this lesson by way of Holy Spirit has helped them. Helped them to really remember everything belongs to God. So when I'm not tithing, when I'm not giving offerings, when I'm not being generous to somebody, I mean, in my lane, of course, but when I'm not doing that, I'm really not pleasing the heart of God. And so, Father, we curse selfishness and we curse a grieving spirit. And we fully, by faith, receive a generous spirit and a spirit of gratitude. I thank you, Father. I thank you that all the negative thoughts that come from the enemy that try to bombard your mind, give you 100 reasons why you shouldn't give, why you shouldn't tithe. And here's a real big one, why you shouldn't be consistent. Because sometimes you'll tithe for a while and then you stop. And then you tithe for a while and you stop. Or you'll tithe on the small stuff, but you won't tithe on the big stuff. So that really means that you really don't trust God. But if you could learn just to trust God with everything that you receive, and God, I'm always going to give you what belongs to you. And above that, I'm going to be generous to others in my lane. And I'm going to live a life that glorifies you, that God will bless you beyond your wildest dream. And so, Father, we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Thank you for the harvest, that none of the harvest shall be lost in Jesus' name. Father, my head's bowed and eyes are closed and believers are praying all over the building. Maybe you don't know Jesus as your personal Savior. Maybe you need to rededicate your life back to Jesus. Maybe you're a Christian that just needs to repent because as Christians, we make mistakes. The Bible didn't say y'all have sinned. The Bible says all have sinned and come short of the glory of the Lord. And so maybe you need to do that. While I'm making my appeals, maybe you're looking for a good church home. I believe the church you go to and the words you hear makes a difference. I believe the type of life you live is based on the type of church you go to. The Bible is clear. It says those that are planted in the house of the Lord are the ones that flourish. And so I believe that being in an environment of faith around people of faith will help produce your faith so you can get the victory, not in some areas, but in every area of your life. That is God's will for your life. And so listen, we're going to pray this prayer if you need to get saved or rededicate your life or if you're going to join our church. There's a connection card. If you're online, it's in the caption above, in a link below. If you're in this room, and listen to me very closely, if you know you're going to get saved, if you know you're going to rededicate your life, or if you know you're going to join the church, I want you to go ahead and open your eyes and look in the seat pocket in front of you and go ahead and grab that connection card right now. You can do it right now. If you're going to get saved, if you're going to rededicate your life, if you're going to join the church, if you don't have a pen, if you were just a writing pen, if you will raise your hand high, ushers have pens in their hands, and they will come and bring one to you. And so it's so important that you do this. And then just fill it out. Just information at the top, and then at the bottom it says, my decision today. And just check whatever it is. I'm committing my life to Christ. I'm renewing my commitment, or I'm joining WLCC. And there's even a place on the back for you to put a prayer request. And I promise you, every time we receive a prayer request, we pray for you. And so let's do it. Let's seal the deal. Let's pray this prayer together. I want everyone online and in this room out loud to repeat after me. Say, Father, I come to you asking you to forgive me for sinning against you. Oh, holy God, I know Jesus died and shed his blood just for me. Jesus, come into my heart. Be my Lord. Be my Savior. And from this day forward, I'll serve you. Now, Satan, I denounce you. and every evil word. You have nothing to do with me. I have nothing to do with you. Jesus is my Savior. He's my Lord, and I'll always serve him. Now, Father, we thank you for what you've done. We seal it now to the day of redemption. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Can you give the Lord a big hand praise?